Stone and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. The breaking news out of Knoxville today, Jeremy Pruitt fired with cause at the University of Tennessee. Again, level one, level two violations. Two other coaches fired as well. Nine total employees are out. Philip Fulmer is retiring as athletic director at Tennessee. They will begin the search for a new athletic director. Then they will begin the new search for a coach. But this story is far from over. Kevin Steele, whose most recent title was interim head coach at Auburn, is now going to be acting head coach at the University of Tennessee. So same difference. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, joining us. Trevor is presented by the Houston Clinic Orthopedics. Trev, first of all, thank you for changing your time. Thank you for coming in studio with us today. What did you think when you heard Pruitt out, Fulmer out, new start once again in Knoxville?
What a toxic mess. What an absolutely bungled, toxic mess. If they're going to do this, it needs to be done in a timely way. And by delaying everything the way that they have put themselves in a situation that complicates the coaching search. It complicates recruiting tremendously. It makes the players that are already here think that they're going to be left holding the bag, and other recruits for down the road thinking, I don't want to be anywhere near a place like that. It makes you wonder if the recruits that signed in the early signing period were told the truth, or if they felt like they were told the truth as to what was going on. Because if they weren't, they're going back to their high schools, and they're going to tell their coaches and their younger teammates there, don't get anywhere near here. I asked them what was going to happen. They told me something that was totally different from what actually happened. And it all adds up to a mess that, because of the timing, will be extraordinarily difficult to sort out.
What bothers me is I agree with you, it's a mess. But this now starts to feel like an every three-year thing. Like, oh, Tennessee football's a complete total mess. And it's like it's cyclical now. Like, everybody gets mad at this president. Everybody gets mad at this chancellor. Everybody gets mad at this AD. Everybody gets mad at this coach. So then you fire all of them. You bring in new ones. And now they're back to being mad again about somebody new. So we're going to fire all of them. And now we got to try to bring in this, that. And that seems to be a problem. And then the other thing is, Trev, I just don't buy the whole violations thing. I don't know about you. I know you and I both would hope that cheating is not rampant in college football. We know that somebody's doing it. How many people are doing it, we don't know. But this, it feels like they wanted to find something so they didn't have to pay Pruitt his buyout. And I just think that that also bothers me, because if that's what coaches think, I'm not sure how you rebuild your program with people thinking of your program this way.
Right. And the thing is, what you said was important. It's what other coaches think. Mm-hmm. Coaches that are prospective candidates to come here, both as assistants and as a head coach. How will they evaluate this whole thing? Because the appearance from the outside looking in is that they decided, they being somebody inside of the Tennessee administration or athletic department, that they wanted to make a change at head coach. So somebody on the inside seemed to have dropped a dime on the head coach at their place so they could get him out of there. Now, is that true? I don't know. It could have been somebody else in the SEC who were told by recruits that they were recruiting also, that Tennessee was offering this and this and this, and maybe they're the ones who dropped the dime. But I kind of think that's untrue, or excuse me, it would be hard for me to believe that part of it just because another organization, another coaching staff, I think would want to have Jeremy Pruitt coaching at Tennessee. Why would you want somebody to come in that might be better than he's been? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what's happened here recently. They lost six games in a row this year by double digits. Going back to the 1890s, they had never had the University of Tennessee football, never had more than four games in a row that they lost by double digits. Never more than four. Going back over a century. And this year they had six, right? So if you're an opposing school, why would you want to drop the dime on this staff? You would want to keep them intact mm-hmm. until at least they turn it around. So the impression, if I'm on the outside, I'm talking through this with you as if I were a coach, thinking, well, gee, do I want to go there and pick up the mantle at Tennessee? I would be wanting to know what in the world happened. Who is going to be against me? And I need to know those things before I commit.
Well, the other thing, too, is we talked about, you know, well, we've talked about Pruitt, and the only reason Pruitt and Fulmer were there in the first place is because the fan base staged a coup the first time when they tried to hire Greg Schiano, and then they ran out the athletic director, and they brought back Fulmer, and they hired Pruitt, and it seemed like the ends would justify the means because Jeremy Pruitt was an SEC guy, and he'd have success, and Fulmer's a Tennessee guy, and he'd have success, and then all of a sudden the losing started, and it was bad. Because it wasn't just losing to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. It was getting embarrassed by Kentucky and Arkansas.
Well, and then losing to Georgia State and BYU.
And that was bad, too.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of like, okay, like, where do you go from here as a program? You can keep firing coaches. You can keep firing athletic directors. You can keep firing. But it just, like, what the one thing I will say is I feel like Tennessee fans have kind of brought their expectations down a little bit from where they were 3 years ago when Greg Schiano's name was mentioned, and it was like, oh, my God, no, we're too proud of a program to have that man coach this program to now just, like, just make the bleeding stop at this point.
That's tragic. Oh, my gosh, how the mighty have fallen. Where it was, let's win a national championship, to where let's compete for SEC championships, to where let's go to bowls every year, to now let's just make the bleeding stop.
Well, let's compare it to Vanderbilt, right? I mean, none of us think Vanderbilt does college football right on almost any level. But they got their AD in place at the beginning of this year, and then they fired the coach, but they did treat the coach pretty well. They fired the coach after he had enough time to prove whether or not he was a good coach or not. And I like Derek Mason, and I don't think that Vandy's a fair representation of him, but I don't think he's a great coach. They fired him. Then they went out and got somebody who was perfectly qualified for that job, as in he was a coordinator at a good spot. You know, Notre Dame was one of the top teams in the country. He's an alum. He was a coordinator. Coordinators of playoff teams get head coaching jobs. So that makes sense. So they hired the AD. Then they hired a guy who was qualified for the job. Now they're filling that staff with guys and positions that look to be somewhat qualified. It's not like Vanderbilt's going out there and throwing around just gobs of money and saying, hey, we have the highest paid staff in the SEC, which is what Fulmer did for Pruitt at Tennessee. But Vanderbilt's putting a staff together. They seem to be going about their business the way you would expect a program to do it. Tennessee can't do that. And so to look at it right now and say, oh, my God, even Vandy has this figured out the way it should be at a much better, more efficient clip than Tennessee. That's where I think the fans are sitting right now saying, oh, my God, we can't do any of this right.
But, Jerry, I kind of get the impression that one of the differences between Vanderbilt and Tennessee is that at Vanderbilt, the problem for the head coach is indifference. They're not getting the support that they need, but they're not really being opposed either, except for the money. They're being opposed for the money. But from a standpoint of how he should run his program with the money that is available, he's not getting opposition. That's the impression I have. At Tennessee, it's the opposite. Indifference, the head coach at Tennessee wishes he had indifference. There seem to be factions within that Tennessee organization, whether it's inside the organization as from employees or whether it's boosters, whether it's fan base. The fan base shouldn't have, by the way, any say at all on Twitter.
Sit this one out, guys.
It was a sign of astonishing weakness that a Twitter storm caused them to not hire Greg Schiano. It was weakness on the part of the athletic director and the athletic department. They should never have been influenced by that. No disrespect for the passionate fans of Tennessee, but that shouldn't have happened. So when you talk about the factions that are involved within that do have a say in terms of money or power, the impression I get and what I'm being told by people that I trust is that you've got people working against one another. You talk about how You do one thing right, you hire a guy, you think he's good, and all of a sudden, bang, he gets dragged down the minute that things start to go poorly, right? Well, then you get that coach is gone. Then the guys that got that coach fired, they get their coach. They win. Okay, the other side, they lost. Put our guy in. Our guy goes in. The other side is attacking him at the first opportunity. That guy's gone. And so there seem to be these kinds of faction. The impression out there within the coaching community is that there are those kinds of factions. I can't say I know for a fact myself that it's true. I can tell you for a fact that people that I know tell me that that's what they believe. These are people that might have a vested interest at some point in the program. That's a problem because that means that if you're a coach coming in, you don't know if you have a chance to be successful. You just don't. I remember when Terry Bowden was the outgoing coach at Auburn, I asked him, you know, what's the biggest regret? What was the thing that led to this moment? And he said, I never knew who I was working for. I never knew who my boss was. I never knew who I was supposed to please. And he was getting basically orders, direction. He was getting resources or being opposed for resources by different people that were competing against each other, and he was a pawn in the middle of it. And at Tennessee, the impression is that that's what they're dealing with as well. And that's why I'm saying, if you're a head coach coming in, you're one of two guys. You either desperately need the job, one of three guys, or you just want the money, or you have options. And if you have options, those are questions that need to be answered before you will accept this job at Tennessee.
Well, that's like Joe Retro last segment said, he doesn't think Luke Fickell touches this job with the Tennessee.
No, no. Oh, no, no, no.
I mean, this is the University of Tennessee. No offense to Luke. He's at Cincinnati.
Right.
This is the University of Tennessee job. And I'm with you. I don't think Fickell touches it with a 10-foot pole.
Nope. But
think about what that means for your program if you're a fan.
Right. 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 But see, think of why that is. And we'll learn more as time goes on because it will leak.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
People will leak.
Pruitt's going to sue him. I mean, I say that as if I know. I don't have any sourcing or anything on that. But if this is Tennessee's trying to justify firing Jeremy Pruitt with cause, they brought in their lawyers a couple weeks ago. They now think they have enough, so they fired him with cause. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's going to sue them.
If he does, it's the worst nightmare for Tennessee. Because then there's this thing called discovery.
Oh, see, that's where I am. Hands on Bibles, baby.
Yep.
Emails come out. Hands go on Bibles. People sit and witness. I support that. But he's going to. I mean, I watched Rick Pitino sue Louisville after he skated by on prostitutes in the dorm and didn't get by with an FBI wiretap of an assistant coach offering $100,000 for a player. And he still sued the school. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, anything's possible. I think Pruitt's gonna sue the school, and they're gonna settle somewhere in the middle.
They better settle
because neither side probably wants this to actually go to court.
And the university does not want in any way the way the sausage has been made to be made public. Look at what happened last time around in the coaching search. They interviewed coaches, seriously interviewed from ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, and other places. Those intimate details were released by the University of Tennessee as part of Curry and him leaving and things like that. Now, whether or not they had to do that because they're a public university and somebody compelled them in court, isn't really what I would be thinking about if I were a prospective coach here. I would be thinking, you know what, pretty much every school in this country is public. And you don't hear the intimate details of these coaching searches, of the interviews, of what they were saying about the prospective coach, what the prospective coach said to them about his own school. Those things aren't made public. They're not, but these were. And so this is another problem that when I say it's just a big toxic drama, it's another problem. And I would think that Tennessee would want to settle with Pruitt. As a matter of fact, they might have been better off just trying to settle with him before they fired him with cause, anticipating that they might have to go to a lawsuit and go to discovery and whether or not they win the lawsuit. If it goes to discovery, then there's all kinds of intimate details that get thrown out there. You know how it works, Jared,
yep.
Where people might be right. But nobody wants to be associated with the mudslinging that goes along with proving yourself right. They're just like, you guys work it out. I'm not getting involved. And that's not where this program can be in terms of coaches and recruits and boosters donating money if they want to get out of this hole.
Trevor Maddich is with us. Your call, 615-737-1025. Your text, 615-737-1025. If you got a question for Trevor on the UT job, get it in, 615-737-1025. There was one little item that was mentioned that I have a problem with, that fans are not going to have a problem with, Trev. I have a problem with. I want to get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Trev's presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach Jeremy Pruitt is the leader of the football program. He is responsible for hiring assistant coaches and the staff, in making sure that those who report to him comply with the NCAA rules. This is written into his employment contract. In addition, under the NCAA bylaws, he is presumed responsible for the actions of all staff members who report to him, either directly or indirectly. Coach Pruitt hired and was responsible for monitoring all 9 employees that we have issued termination letters to today.
That was Dondi Plowman, the chancellor at the University of Tennessee. Trevor Maddich is with us. Boy, I'm sure that doesn't make a lot of coaches feel good. Guys that may want to take the Tennessee job up. Coach Pruitt is in charge with overseeing the entire staff, and the staff had violations that, because with other coaches, a lot of times you hear the administration say, well, yeah, I know Bruce Pearl's assistant coach got caught doing this, but there's no way he could have known that. I mean, at the end of the day, just using this logic, at the end of the day, isn't the chancellor in charge of overseeing Pruitt? And thus, shouldn't the chancellor, by the same token, be held responsible?
Exactly the same token, because for Pruitt, it's not just, in terms of his contract and the language in it, it's not just that he's responsible for assistants that report to him directly. It's also the ones that report to him indirectly. Now you start to get a scenario where you got all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, and you're supposed to be monitoring everything all of them do? No, you need to be monitoring the people that report to you directly and that you need to delegate to them. But if this is going to be – well, he signed the contract, right? So he accepted that responsibility. But you're totally right. I mean, if there's evidence that he did it himself, that's one thing. If the evidence shows that it is his assistants and he failed to monitor those assistants, then the guy above him and the person above him and the person above him – see, those are all the people also that need to be judged with the same judgment. And then things get kind of hairy. Now, I have no doubt. Check that. Let me rephrase that. I wouldn't be surprised at all if all of these things that they're talking about in terms of violations are true. I wouldn't be surprised if they were caught doing things that are quite serious. But that's only part of what's going on, because you look at the context, the greater context of college football. A lot of things like that happen, and at winning programs, typically, there's a slap on the wrist and they move on. The university circles around the staff and they move on. This kind of a thing where the coach is, you know, fired at this point with cause, it looks really – I'm not suggesting, Jared, that it's okay to cheat. I'm not saying that because everybody else does it or a lot of other people do it, it's okay for you to do it. But at the same time, it is a big, hairy mess when you're holding your coaches to a standard that you're not holding yourself to. And that other schools don't hold their coaches to. But see, that's one of the things that bothered me about the press conference, because there was so much about the awesomeness of the integrity of the University of Tennessee. And it was just it was almost like you're talking at someone's wedding about how awesome they are and all that stuff. Well, guess what? Clearly not. Not right now. Not even close. And I thought it wasn't a good look for them to come out and talk about how incredibly honest they were, the great integrity of the University of Tennessee. Maybe they do have that great integrity. But right now is not the time to be trumpeting that. Right now is the time to be trumpeting what you're going to do about the mistakes that you made. And so I just look at this whole thing, and then you put that press conference on top of it, and it's hard for me to get on board with what they have done in the past and what they're trying to do in the future to turn this thing around, because now it's not a matter of one coaching staff or one athletic director or two or even three. This goes back from a standpoint of dysfunction more than a decade, and there's no apparent fix that they have established other than to say, hey, we're awesome and we're honest and that's how we're going to be.
Chris in National, text line, 615-737-1025. Your questions and texts for Trevor, 615-737-1025. Chris says, I don't get all the toxic talk. UT's coach couldn't win. He got fired. Good for the Vols. End of story. I disagree with that. I truly believe that, and again, we don't know the level of the violations again. I mean, we know they're level one, level two, but we don't know exactly what it was.
Right.
You know, if it's a signed check from Jeremy Pruitt for $250,000 for a recruit, like, okay, then he's got to go. If it was this coach flew in the day before he was supposed to fly in to see this recruit, and he met with the recruit, and it was the dead period, and Pruitt didn't find out, and then that's a different thing. But I feel like the Vols would have been better off paying $12 million and not having kind of this scarlet letter for they just found a reason to fire a coach and did it because he wasn't successful.
Right, because published reports right now, and who knows what the actual truth will be, we'll see. But public reports are such that there were impermissible benefits given to recruits on unofficial visits. published reports suggest that there was dishonesty in the investigation.
Yes.
And that's the biggest deal. That's why Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, has been so reluctant to allow Hugh Freeze back into the SEC in any capacity at all, assistant or head or anything else. That may be changing now. But certainly a few years ago, it was reported that several SEC organizations wanted to hire Hugh Freeze as an offensive coordinator, and Sankey said no. And that's because of the cover-up. It's because of the dishonesty more than the underlying violations. And so if that's true, if there was dishonesty and a cover-up in the internal investigation by this coaching staff towards those conducting the investigation, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. I'm not suggesting in any way that it's unfair or wrong for Tennessee to have fired them for a cause. What I'm saying is that the way they've gone about it, the timing that they've gone about it, everything, is it makes it really hard for them to dig out of the hole.
I just keep going back to this idea that Vol fans thought that they were so justified and they thought they were so right on the Schiano thing. And maybe they were right. Maybe Schiano was.
They were dead wrong.
Well, I'm just saying for them.
They were so dead wrong, it's unbelievable.
And that was my point the whole time. I mean, I believe Tennessee fans have dug themselves this mess. This isn't an athletic director going out making a bad hire. This is much deeper than that. It's a much bigger hole. And it seems like Tennessee just keeps digging it deeper because they aren't willing to just say, okay, we got to blow it up, start from scratch, hire an AD we like, hire a coach we like, and just move on. Just let them coach, and they're going to lose and deal with it. And then if they lose after 4 years, fine, see ya. But there's too much there's probably too many cooks in the kitchen at Tennessee. And when you let the fans in there, again, I think the fans thought that Greg Schiano was going to be such a bad coach that they did the right thing, no matter how bad it looked, and they vetoed that hire. And what I'm saying is I don't think they understand the damage that was done that day to the program from people outside, for the view of people outside the program, just like I'm not sure this chancellor or president knows how much damage they're doing to the program today if they are, in fact, firing Jeremy Pruitt off of something that isn't major.
When everything hits the fan, everybody is hunkering down and covering their behind, right? They're covering their backside. And so when you get a new coach in, he's going to look at the players, and he's going to say to them, we're all family, and we're all going to move forward. But what he really is thinking is, you guys got the last coach fired. You're not going to get me fired. And that coach is probably going to play a whole bunch of freshmen that he brings in, right?
Just like Jeremy Pruitt.
Exactly. And same thing with athletic directors. Same thing with the people that hire athletic directors. You are not going to get me fired. And when there are influence, when there's undue influence by the fan base via social media that influences people that may be doing hiring and firing decisions, then what those people say are important to you because you're trying to cover your own backside and not get fired yourself. Now, when it comes to the Schiano situation, anybody that thinks that Schiano would not have been a good coach doesn't understand Schiano and doesn't understand coaching. Schiano went to Rutgers, whose previous bowl was, I think, the Salad Bowl back in the 70s when he got there. Rutgers was the running joke in college football in terms of ineptitude. Schiano opened up a pipeline to Miami. He started to get more of the top New Jersey recruits to stay home, recruits that would have gone to USC and Alabama and Penn State. Some of those guys stayed home, and then more guys started to trickle in, and Rutgers became a bowl program, and they became respectable. Then he left, and things kind of left. Now he's back, and they're getting back on that trajectory. He is a very good coach. The reason that Tennessee fans wanted him out of there was the whole Penn State Jerry Sandusky situation.
That's what they said. That's what they said they wanted. Yeah, but if they don't care.
But if it weren't for that, just to say we don't want the guy, there had to be something they could smear him with.
Sure.
That would make the people making the decisions.
Sure.
And that was wrong. I mean, in the free report that outlined everything that happened, Schiano's name was not mentioned. His name was only mentioned during a court deposition, I believe, where one of the principals brought his name up for the first time in the entire scenario, trying to take pressure off of himself. And that became some reason for some Tennessee fans to make such a stink on Twitter that Tennessee rescinded their offer to him. And so I just would suggest that I love the passion of Tennessee fans. I think it's great. I think it's great that they put their opinion out there and their desires out there and what they want. But at the same time, I think it would be dangerous for them to think that they can put together a Twitter force that should influence any of these decisions, because it should not.
615-737-1025. More of your texts and calls for Trevor. Plus, I know we like him, but the idea of who may be leading this search, does it make sense? Trev's with us. Trevor, by the way, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025, the game.
None of us, obviously, are pleased to be here under these circumstances. We are all deeply disappointed in the individuals who engaged in the behavior described in the report that we received. As the chancellor explained, our general counsel and law firm gave us the report, and it became clear to both of us that new leadership was necessary in the football program. The unexpected need to hire a new coach caused me to reevaluate my place in the organization. I knew we need stability and continuity at Tennessee, and our next football coach needs to be on our sideline for 10 years or more. And I am confident that we will find that coach, but also am confident that he will want and need to know who his athletic director is going to be for the duration. I asked Chancellor Plowman if we could revisit my position, and she agreed.
That was Philip Fulmer saying, you know, I don't think I'm going to be here for the next 10 years, and so we probably need a new athletic director. Trevor, make that one of many things I did not buy from this press conference.
Yeah, but it was the right thing to do. Phil Fulmer as a coach is legendary. It would do no good to throw him under the bus. And he should he have culpability in this whole Jeremy Pruitt regime fiasco? Of course, he's the guy that hired Jeremy Pruitt and then oversaw Jeremy Pruitt. But it doesn't do any good for them to cause maximum pain to Phil Fulmer as he walks out the door. I think this is the right way to do it.
But I'm not buying that. By the way, Trevor Maddich is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. This is what I think. So Floyd said when the Schiano thing happened, right, when Twitter fired the coach, Floyd said that if he was AD and that was who he wanted and the university came to him and said, well, Twitter's mad, so we got to fire, we can't hire Schiano, he'd say, fine, you're firing me too. And I wonder if Fulmer thinks that what they're doing to get rid of Pruitt is so ridiculous, you know, as far as these level one violations that he oversaw and thus, and that Fulmer's like, look, I'm out. I'm not, we can't win doing this. This is all just a, you know, a total just blanket to try to fire the coach because we're not happy because we stink and I'm not doing this anymore. So I'm out. And that this is the way, okay, so you agree to kiss Fulmer's butt on the way out. Sure. Fulmer agrees not to say anything that would make you look even more dysfunctional than you already are. And then, you know, ready, break. And that's what I think.
But look at what they need going forward, though. And athletic director Phil Fulmer is not that guy. He knows Tennessee. He loves Tennessee.
But he wasn't that guy 3 years ago.
But here's the thing. Going forward, this is the why resigning now is the right thing for everybody for him to do. And it's not necessarily his fault. It's like taking a dancing bear and having him dance Swan Lake with the Joffrey Ballet in New York at Christmas time, right? It doesn't work that way because that's not who he is. He's a guy that, as an athletic director, would be steeped in football and wanting to do things that are all about football. And what they need going forward is what other organizations, other universities have been doing for a long time with their athletic
directors. Real athletic directors?
Bringing in guys with business backgrounds because they've got to manage the finances. They've got to manage the personnel. Football is just one cog in that machine. They need to be supportive of football. They need to understand football, but they don't need to be a Phil Fulmer level of understanding football. It needs to be an overarching business. These are massive corporations. And when you put a guy that's primarily a football guy into that role, he is so distracted by other things going on that he doesn't have control over. And he knows he doesn't have control over. And then other people are filling the power vacuum because the athletic director doesn't have a business flow chart control over every single thing that's going on there. All of a sudden, things tend to spiral out of control. That's one of the risks of bringing in a head coach who's never been a head coach before.
Well, this is what bothered me about the Fulmer thing. And I see your phones, and we will get to them in just a second. What bothered me the whole time about the Fulmer thing was this idea of, well, we fired him 10 years ago because the game had passed him and he couldn't be our coach anymore. But now we don't like the guy that we hired to do the job over Fulmer. And so now we're essentially going to promote Fulmer from a job that we fired him a decade ago for.
Yeah, no, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I think it shows you.
But the fans were like, he bleeds orange.
That's why. It shows you.
Who cares? I love the Titans. You want to make me general manager right now?
Sure.
No.
After this last offseason, sure.
True.
Vic Beasley and Jadeveon
Clowney. I told him no do Clowney.
You be the guy. I'm kidding. No, actually, Robinson's done a great job there, except for this last offseason. It's been a little bit weird. But the passion that is there among that fan base in Tennessee, that should be a positive thing if you've got the strong leaders that can accept that passion, that can mobilize that passion, but not be swayed by the passion of the fan base. And I think that's what's been going on here for a little while.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The text line. Chase is up next on Greg Schiano. Thank you for calling. Trevor Maddich with us. Go ahead, Chase.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to clarify the real reason that Vols fans were so upset with the idea of hiring Schiano. It was not the Penn State Association.
Of course it wasn't.
You know, Vols fans have no moral proprieties when it comes to who their coaches. They'd be fine with Jeffrey Dahmer being the freaking head coach if he had a brilliant football mind. That's the real reason they were so upset with the hiring of Schiano is you were taking one mediocre coach in Butch Jones and replacing him with, record-wise, another. He was either at 500 or right below 500, and Vols fans wanted a step up. We arrogantly thought that we deserved a Gruden or a big-time head coach. But at the end of the day, we weren't willing to accept someone as small potatoes as Schiano. He had just come off a failed excursion in the NFL, and his record was about the same as Butch Jones. That's why Vols fans were so upset by that hire. Thanks, guys.
But I appreciate that. I really do. I don't think you can compare Butch Jones to Greg Schiano just based on the records, though.
Dude, it's Rutgers. Like, this is the thing that nobody seemed to understand this 3 years ago. 500 at Rutgers is like, I mean, like James Franklin, when he got hired at Penn State, it wasn't like Vandy was in the national championship game. They were 8-4. But guess what? Everybody understands that 8-4 at Vanderbilt is almost as hard as getting to the Super Bowl in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you must be a pretty good coach. Dude, it's Rutgers. Tennessee fans, it's Rutgers. Like, Rutgers is a terrible program. It's always been a terrible program. And the only time in my lifetime that it hasn't been terrible is when Schiano was the coach and he had a top five program 1 year. Like, dude, it's Rutgers.
And at Rutgers, there was a lot of opposition from the academic side who thought that spending money on football was a distraction from the primary mission of the university, which was academics. There was active opposition to investing in the football program that he had to deal with. No recruit wanted to go there. He was instrumental. He was the guy that opened up recruiting pipelines and brought in some talent that went off to the NFL from his program. Then, on top of that, you've got a coach in Greg Schiano that understood how to develop athletes. He wasn't going to get enough of the top recruits to matter. He's got to bring in the diamonds in the rough and coach them into being effective college football players. Well, guess where Tennessee is now? I'm sorry, Tennessee fans, but Tennessee football is a developmental program right now. You've got recruiting happening at too high a level at too many other places in the SEC to recruit your way into being competitive in the SEC East. You're just not going to do it. So you have to identify and develop, and Schiano showed that he could do that. The next coach needs to be able to identify and develop, and if he can't do any of that, he's going to fail too.
Texter says, if this was just to get to Pruitt's buyout, why would any coach take a job when, if you lose, the university, instead of honoring your contract, will hire lawyers to fire you with cause?
Well, yeah, that will depend on whether or not that cause is real. It may be that the NCAA is bearing down on them, and they needed to do that, and there was no choice. We'll find out more about the nature of the violations.
I'd be stunned if that's the case.
But we still don't know enough to be able to make a hard judgment on the decision. But to me, it's the timing of everything. Now, yes, it takes time to figure this stuff out. I get all that stuff. But what coach now that is an active head coach is going to leave his program probably late January at the earliest, when they're getting ready for spring ball, you know, all the recruits are in now that he promised he would be there. Mm-hmm. Leaving now? It's one thing if you leave in December, if you leave right after the bowls. That's expected. Leaving now would put a bad taste in everybody's mouth about you, coach, who left to go to Tennessee. And so right now it's just a very awkward position to be in. So for me, it's not necessarily that they fired him for a cause. We're going to learn more about that. It's that the way that they did it, the investigation, how long it took, all the things that happened, and now where they are has dug themselves a hole. Maybe they had no choice to dig themselves a hole like this, but it is a massive hole now to get in the coach that they really want, who may not be willing to leave his current team in such a lurch to leave now.
I would argue that their best bet, honestly, is to let Kevin Steele coach this season.
Right, I agree.
Just let Kevin Steele coach this season, teeth kicked in, get an athletic director, then maybe when some of this has subsided, you can go out and get a real coach.
Well, Kevin Steele is a real coach. I think Kevin Steele is an outstanding defensive coach. He has been the head coach for defense most places he's been. He was that way at Auburn. And Auburn, the defense was never the problem. But so he understands how to run that side of the organization. But I think he would be an outstanding head coach if the place is right, if the fit is right.
Well, we saw the fans revolt over Schiano being 500 at Rutgers. I'm not sure how they take 1-31 at Baylor.
Well, that's Baylor, though. Come on. There was a time when Baylor
they won't listen to Rutgers being Rutgers.
Listen, there was a time when Baylor was worse than Rutgers. There was a time when Rutgers would have given anything to play Baylor, for goodness sake. And so all of a sudden, we know now Baylor in recent years, Baylor's been pretty good.
Sure.
But back then, Baylor was not Baylor. And that's saying something, because Baylor now isn't Baylor either. So
0%, 5% chance Steele keeps the job long term.
But here's the thing, though. If they have Steele be the interim coach for an entire season, what does that do to recruiting?
Well, I mean, they had Luke Fickell as the interim coach for an entire year at Ohio State. They seemed to do just fine afterwards.
Yeah, different though. They didn't. It was a different scenario. It was a different scenario.
Except that it was the same scenario that it was impermissible benefits that got the coach fired.
Yeah, but I just see it as being different because
we looked at
there.
It as like a one deal,
no.
Like one runoff problem, not the and entire university is scheming to get a coach out who stinks.
Because Fickell was already there. He'd been there for a long time. I mean, I talked to him on my tours. I sat in his office and visited with him about defense, about the program, about the culture there and stuff like that. And when he took over, he was continuing what was already happening. You've got Steele that came in a minute and a half ago. And if you say, okay, you're going to be our coach for 1 year, and then you're gone too, there is no continuity. You can't say to a recruit, look, this is we're continuing what you know. We're continuing what you've been told. And then we're going to see about the head coach. Right now, there's no idea from recruits what culture they're going to be in, what it's going to be like. You go to Ohio State, whether it's Luke Fickell or Urban Meyer or Ryan Day as the head coach or interim head coach, you still have the culture at Ohio State, which is not going to change a whole lot. Right now, it is an absolute unknown what in the world this place is going to be. And if I'm a recruit, I don't trust a single thing I'm told. I have to wait and see it. But that means if I'm a recruit this year, I'm waiting to see it from afar because I'm going to a different school. I'm not giving advice to recruits. I'm saying if I were that high school kid coming out in, you know, this next recruiting cycle, I'm looking at this with a lot of trepidation. Because I don't trust it. And I don't think you can give Kevin Steele a one-year interim coach scenario without setting the school back even farther. They'd be better off giving him a four-year deal and letting him go with it.
615-737-1025. We'll get right to your text with Trevor next because we got a bunch of them. Trevor Maddich with us for the rest of the hour, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
We have already enlisted the services of Parker Executive Search Firm to lead the search for a new athletic director. Our plan is to have a new athletic director in place as soon as possible, and we're optimistic about our future and our ability to attract a strong leader who will then hire the right football coach. Now, I realize many people would prefer we make those hires in the opposite order, but I hope everyone will accept the judgment that this is the way for us to have the long-term success we all want, for now and for the long term. We feel a profound sense of responsibility to get this right for our student athletes, our staffs, and fans, and I am highly confident we will do so.
There you go. That was Dondi Plowman, the chancellor at Tennessee. By the way, I like living in a world, Trevor Maddich, where I don't know who these people are. I don't need to know who the president is. I don't need to know who the chancellor is. I don't need to know any of that.
Right.
Unfortunately, we seem to know all too well about these people at Tennessee.
Right. It seems like if things are going well, you don't know who they are. It's like, wow, this is great. I love this place. This is great. And you're not thinking about the name of the person that made it all happen. But if things are going badly, that's when you know who people are.
So I get a bunch of names for you. I want to throw these out. People have been texting the text line. I tell you, some of these texts are pretty funny. But I told you during the break, and I'll just leave this with me and then we'll go wherever. If I'm looking at Tennessee's head coaching job, I'm three deep. Luke Fickell, Gus Malzahn, James Franklin. If you can't get one of those three guys, then your program really is in the tank right now.
Okay.
If you offer Luke Fickell $5 million a year, you don't think he'd take the Tennessee job.
Luke Fickell will get $5 million a year from the school that he wants, and he can wait for a couple of years for that to happen. So he doesn't need to. James Franklin, to leave Penn State right now?
I don't think they like him.
Well, I don't think that you know what? I think they do. I think they're frustrated about this last season, but I think they do like him. Either way, why would he come here? Why is this a better opportunity for him to win than Penn State? I just don't think it is. And then the other one was who, would you say?
Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, no. Listen, would you leave the political scenario with a lot of resources at Auburn right next to Atlanta to come up to the political situation at Tennessee with not more resources, maybe less to a certain degree, and try to take over here and turn this thing around? Auburn wasn't really broken. It just wasn't succeeding at the highest level they needed to. He's coming to a broken place. Why would he want to do that?
Texter says, what does Trevor think of the search firm for an AD? It seems like search firms have not worked out so far for UT, so shouldn't they do it themselves?
No, search firm is good. You hire a specialist. That's why you go to a dentist, because he knows how to work on your teeth. You don't work on them yourself, right? But you go to different dentists and ask them what they think needs to be done, how should it be done, on what schedule, and then you decide that. That's what search firms are for, search firms. They are specialists that can do the nitty-gritty, hardcore, granular vetting that you can't do competently, and then you take what they have decided and you overlay it with what you want to have happen, and you make decisions based on that.
Okay, Texter says, offer Eric Bieniemy $6 million a year. You get him to come, and you'll look like a hero. And if he doesn't want to do it, it's because he just wants to stay in the NFL.
Well,
I think Bieniemy's staying in the NFL.
I think he's staying in the NFL, too. I think that some NFL team is going to give him $6 million a year or thereabouts at some point. And he's already been, by the way, offered NFL coaching, head coaching jobs, and I think he's waiting for the right situation as well. But right now he's coaching Patrick Mahomes, coming into the prime of his career.
Yeah, I'm not going to
the enemy will only get more valuable. And yeah, by the way, he's not a pauper. He's making some money.
Brent Venables, Clemson defensive coordinator.
Brent Venables would be, I think, a good coach. He is.
Would he get into this mess, though?
I don't think he would. Right now he's making a lot of money at Clemson. He could go anywhere. I mean, he's had so many opportunities to go places. I think he would go into a place that he would have a chance to be more successful earlier than to come here and have to do not just a rebuilding project at Tennessee, but in some ways, this is a startup. In some ways, this is starting from scratch with a foundation that's shaky. And I don't know that Venables has to do that to get the head coaching job that he wants.
Brian, Jamie Chadwell or Billy Napier?
Okay, love both of them. Chadwell at Coastal Carolina has one of the most innovative offenses I've ever seen. It's a combination of double option zone read, triple option, RPO, and pro style. For a defense, you've got to prepare for all that stuff in the week you're playing them. And it's amazing when they've got the horses to run it, and they certainly did. I don't know that he would be a big enough name. I think Tennessee wants to make a splash. I hope they don't. But Billy Napier at Louisiana would also be fantastic. Napier was an assistant under Dabo Swinney at Clemson, Nick Saban at Alabama. He has seen programs that are run in a functional way from top to bottom, the right way, from two different head coaches, and he has done that and put his own spin on it at Louisiana. He would be a guy who would be a terrific coach here. Again, not a big name that would be a splash because people know him because he's so famous, but he would be a phenomenal coach here.
Do you think I'm crazy for saying, I'm going to say this, and Tennessee fans are going to go nuts. Tennessee needs to find their Mark Stoops, a guy who comes in, builds the program up, wins at a certain level, isn't really good enough to go anywhere else, isn't bad enough to get fired, and just enjoy your 8-4 every year.
I could say, I totally disagree with that. I think at Kentucky, because of their history, that's a good place for them
to be.
They
used to have Bear Bryant as coach at one point.
Well, but still.
Okay, yes.
When was the last time they won the national championship? Tennessee did it in 98, right?
Well, they both claimed 51, Tennessee and Kentucky.
Okay,
that would be the last time Kentucky won a
good for them. And, you know, that 51 team was an amazing team. Boy, they just
those leather helmets were nice and fresh.
Go Cats. But I think here they want a guy that can take them higher than that. They don't want that interim guy that can get them to a spot.
I know,
and
but
there's a ceiling.
But they vetoed Greg Schiano, so this is what you get.
Well, no, the fans did. I think the administration that allowed that to happen to me was weak, and they should never have allowed that. See, I like Bill Clark of UAB. He has done a phenomenal job there.
I don't know if we got into this on the air or off the air. He didn't want the Auburn job because of all the drama. If he doesn't want the Auburn job at UAB because of the drama, you think he's going to want the Tennessee job?
That's fair, but the thing about the Auburn job, if he turned him down, and Auburn says that some of the people that have claimed to have turned down the Auburn job were never even offered the Auburn job. So I don't want to say that he turned it down. I would just say this, that just like Clark Lee, the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame who became the head coach now of Vanderbilt, just like Clark Lee had to be sold by Vanderbilt, that he should want them, not the other way around. I think Bill Clark at UAB should be sold by Tennessee or Auburn, that they're going to do the things that he demands before he even considers it, right? But if Tennessee is willing to satisfy what he wants from a standpoint of insulating him from countervailing forces that are pulling the cart in different directions and giving him what he needs from a support standpoint, look at what he's done out there. On the field, he's been extraordinarily successful at UAB. He's been fantastic at developing young players. High school coaches trust him. And they trust him with their second-tier guys at UAB. They will also trust him with their top-tier guys when he comes, if he comes to Tennessee. But more than that, when the University of Alabama system shut down the football program a few years ago at UAB, he was the coach before that. He shepherded them through it, came back out, and then afterwards won their first ever Conference USA championship. And he knows how to deal with politics. And if the politics here, if they satisfy him that he will be insulated enough from those, then any sort of politics will seem less than what he's already gone through.
Yeah, no, I just think that, I mean, I just don't, I think the baggage is too high. Okay, how about this? If they shouldn't find their Mark Stoops, they need to find their Ed Orgeron.
They need to find their Ed Orgeron. Well, Phil Fulmer was their Ed Orgeron, right?
I guess that's probably fair.
Right, he's saying he was making the choices as to how to do that because Ed Orgeron is the guy that's, you know, from the Bayou, he was one of them.
Texter asked the question, Trevor, what do you think about Peyton Manning leading the search? Let me say this. I'm against it. He has no experience hiring a coach. He has as much experience in coaching hires as Jared Stillman does.
Well, that Peyton
no,
Manning.
No, thank you.
Boy, if he knew more about football, he might have a chance to know something about this. Peyton Manning has to be instrumental in this. He has to be because he is the public alpha alum. And if he is not seen as a person who signs off on it, who has an integral part of it, then any problem that the next coach has, he'll be seen as a guy that doesn't have support in the foundation. Peyton Manning needs to be at least seen as supporting the new staff, the new athletic director. And so having him as part of the search doesn't mean that he makes the decision. It doesn't mean that it is his personal Google searches that decides who the candidates will be. But as search firms come in with candidates, as interviews come in, for him to be a part of that, for him to have input on it, and then eventually for him to say, yeah, I agree. I agree with this. That puts the new athletic director and the new head football coach on a foundation that at least publicly looks like he's got the support that he needs. And without Peyton Manning's support, you don't have support.
Trevor, always good to see you. Thank you for stopping by for the whole hour.
Much fun.
Important times on Rocky Top. Boy, is it depressing. I mean, I'm not even a Vols fan, and it's very depressing.
You're going to love it when the Vols win the SEC East. You're going to love it.
This year?
Close. This year, give or take a few.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Football Analyst, is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. Coming up next, why some Vol fans are happy, but I'd be a little careful. We'll get to that coming up next. Tillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.